Hi, everyone. I'm Eileen Frere, along with Randy McKinley, the founder and CEO of The Company Doctors. And this is the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by The Company Doctors. In this episode, we're going to shine the bright light on the business exam room table to look at mentorship. Our guest, Bob Peterson, shares his story, which is an amazing one, to illustrate the power of having and being a mentor, how it helped transform him from being a homeless teenager to years later, moving into second in command at the Orange County Sheriff's Department. Bob, you just have such an incredible story that really speaks to the power of having a mentor. In your case, it was two mentors who came into your life when you were just 14 years old. And maybe take us back to what was happening in your life at that time.
Sure. So I came up in somewhat dysfunctional family in that my parents had routinely separated. In 1982, my parents and I were moving back from Missouri to California, when in the middle of the country, they separated once again. This time, being a 14-year-old young man, I decided that it'd be best that I go with my father because there were some things that I needed to learn from him. So we moved to California, to Orange County. All we had was a truck and a couple tools inside that truck and the clothes that we were wearing. My dad was able to secure a warehouse, if you're familiar with the area in Placentia, State College in Placentia Avenue, right next to the U-Haul. We moved into a warehouse that all it had was a toilet and a sink. And we built a little office in that warehouse, put a bed up on top as like a loft. And my dad and I, we slept together in that same bed. We would sponge bath in the morning. We didn't have a shower. We didn't have anything. So what my dad did is he had to find a way to feed us and to pay for that warehouse. So we went down to Long Beach, started buying damaged freight, specifically tools, kind of like from Harbor Freight, things like that. We would bring the damaged tools back to the warehouse. And then I kind of had an apprenticeship and trying to figure out how to fix hydraulic jacks, you know, cherry pickers, which are engine pullers. I fixed everything, drills, drill presses, put it together. And eventually we would go to swap meets on the weekend and sell the things that we repaired. And that was my job, was trying to help bring a little income into the family and help us to survive.
That's some great creativity if you think about it. It's, you know, you're looking at the situation around you and going, hey, what can we go do? Wow, you know, we can go take tools. We can fix them and sell them. That's very creative.
Yeah, that's certainly what I thought, you know, as a little fella, you're just trying to see, you don't know what you're going to be doing in life. You just know that you've got to make things happen. And my dad was able to do that because he knew that the Long Beach port, they couldn't sell those tools that maybe fell off a pallet. They couldn't sell them as new anymore. He went out there and got them.
So then you had two Orange County Sheriff investigators show up one day at the warehouse. And what happened?
Yeah. So I was sitting in the back of the warehouse, putting tools together, trying to repair bushings and things like that. And these guys, what they heard on the street, that you could get some really good deals on some home quality tools. And they came into the shop, the warehouse, and they were looking around, and they had done it a couple times. They had noticed me in the back just working away. And one day they struck up a conversation with me, and it was Bill Denton and Harry Sherlock. They had asked me how old I was and how long I had been doing this, where we live, because you could see the bed from the ground floor of the warehouse. Certainly it wasn't big. And then they inquired, you know, what my future looked like. And that was the beginning. That's when they changed my stars, to be quite honest.
And what did they say to you? I mean, were they asking, were you going to school, that sort of thing?
Yeah, they did. They asked if I went to school and I told them I wasn't. They asked if what grade I would be in, how old I was, and what my aspirations were when I got older. I really didn't have any direction. And they said, had you ever considered a job in law enforcement? And I said, I have, because I'm kind of wired that way. I know I'm a rule follower, unlike other members of my family. And they said, well, I'll tell you what, kid, if you graduate high school, we will help you get a job with the Orange County Sheriff's Department.
What did you think when they first said that to you?
Well, I thought about a conversation I had with my dad, who only had a 9th grade education, who told me that my help in the shop was invaluable. And I had the option of going back to school or not. Nobody knew I was there. No districts had me recorded. And he felt that he was successful. He was a jack of all trades, and I had the choice. And at 14 years old, having the choice to go to high school or not, that's a pretty enticing choice to make. But when these guys said it, and I realized that maybe this is not what I want to do the rest of my life, I better figure out what high school I want to go to and how to get there, because that was my option. My dad said, hey, I don't care where you go to school, you just got to figure out how to get there and how to get back.
And what happened?
Well, I decided to go to a school in Anaheim, Loera High School. I figured out the city bus routes to get there. I used another relative's home address as if I lived in the district, because I thought I might know somebody there. Ultimately, I graduated high school a few years later, and those two guys lived up to their promise to me.
So how did they live up to their promise?
They came in the shop one day and said, hey, how's it going? Are you going to graduate? And I said, I am. And they said, well, tell you what, I need you to fill out an application. We're going to give this to you. And they coached me through it. Bill and Harry, they said, and then you're going to come in, you're going to do an interview. So you need to dress right. You need to look professional. I didn't know really what that meant. They said suit and tie. So I went down to a Five and Dime. I bought this big suit, too big for me, right? Because I was about 160 pounds. I didn't
know how to tie a tie.
And I remember going to the sheriff's headquarters, meeting them outside. Bill Denton came out and I said, Mr. Denton, I don't know how to tie a tie. And so he tied my tie, staring at me. He said, you're going to do fine when you go in there. He said, just don't say anything stupid when you go in there, right? Just be you. Yeah, I ended up getting my first job at the sheriff's department.
And what were you doing?
My first job was washing inmates' clothing in the basement of the Central Men's Jail in Santa Ana. I was running a laundry crew where basically it was me and five inmates in this kind of dungeon-looking place. I would sit there and put inmates' underwear, socks, and jumpsuits inside of these big industrial washers and dryers and supervise inmates as they folded the clothes and that. I did that. That was my first job.
Was that scary to be
No, I mean, because when I said I moved from Missouri, I was living downtown St. Louis, area of St. Louis. Yeah.
I know that area well.
I wasn't afraid. And truth be told, I had an older brother, 2 years older, that had been in jail and had been in prison. Not then, later on, he would end up in prison. But yeah, I had a very colorful family. They weren't scary to me. In fact, I was so low on the totem pole, it was probably inmate, then my rank in the organization. So, yeah, it was. I wasn't up there at all.
He may not have been up there just yet, but when we come back, how Bob's career, with the help of other mentors, went from washing inmates' underwear to becoming second in command of the sheriff's department decades later, coming full circle right after this. The Company Doctors has a senior team with a combined 115 years of hands-on business expertise and includes a PhD, a marketing expert, IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and Randy McKinley, a turnaround guru with more than 25 years of experience with Fortune 100 companies right down to mom and pops.
Better profits, reduce taxes, increase cash flow. Do you wish you could get results like that? Well, you can. To date, we have helped 68 companies and counting make more money with our bookkeeping and accounting services and best practices. How do we do it? Simple. We're a team of business professionals who have run businesses. We are certified professional bookkeepers, which is rare, and business accountants. We use our proprietary tools to get a 360-degree view of your business, to find ways, cut costs while making your books easy to understand, plus government and bank ready at all times. Add in secure virtual platforms, key technology. We can execute all parts of bookkeeping and accounting seamlessly anywhere. And we give you access to our complete library of critical business competency courses free of charge. As you can see, we are the next level in bookkeeping and accounting for small and mid-sized businesses. If you have part-time bookkeeping and accounting, or full-time, or something in the middle, give us a call and do a comparison before you hire another employee or a bookkeeper down the street. Schedule your complimentary business review by visiting thecompanydoctors.com. thecompanydrs.com. Click on bookkeeper, and then there's an appointment scheduler, and let's get your company the real value it deserves today, because you'll be shocked how inexpensive quality bookkeeping and accounting can be for you.
Bob Peterson went from being a homeless teenager to finishing high school and getting a job in the Orange County Central Men's Jail running a laundry crew of inmates. He got this far with the help of two investigators who saw something in him at 14 years old and gave him a chance. He decided to take the next step and started testing to become a deputy sheriff. He admits it was not easy.
To be truthful, I failed that test 3 times. I'm not a very bright guy. You know, my IQ is not very high, but my EQ might be a little bit higher than most. And finally,
that's what's important. And that's important, having your EQ up there, because you're using what's around you. So that's pretty big.
I was young. I didn't understand politics. When I was in the jail as a CSD, literally like you would see in the movies, I moved up from the laundry room into the mail room, and I would open up the non-classified mail that were being shipped around the department in ponies. And I would read everything that was going on in the department to try and understand this big organization that I'm now part of, my new family. So I got a pretty good understanding of what was going on in the organization back in 1987, 88. So ultimately, I moved up in that organization, and fast forward through a very, very blessed career. I became a commander of that facility, you know, 20 something years later. I came back to command.
That's impressive.
Well, it's pretty funny because, you know, that old saying, be careful the toes you step on today, because it might be connected to the back end you're kissing tomorrow. Well, there were still people there that knew me as a CST when I came back as a bureau commander.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did it amaze you, like, looking back, how far you came?
It doesn't amaze me every time I go back to those two men that took the time to, one, identify a young fellow that was just trying to make it through life, had no direction, and for them to be able to take a few minutes out of their day to start talking to me and recognize that, hey, he might have potential, you don't know, but take the gamble on him and let's see where we could go with this.
Were they able to see your progress too?
Yeah, they did. Obviously, they're much older than I was, and they ended up retiring. But I think when they both retired in the organization, I had worked several special details. I graduated the academy with honors. I got some of the best jobs as a deputy sheriff in the jails you could, the most high profile jobs you could. Played on the sheriff's lawman football team. They started seeing that I started building a network of really good people in that organization. And anytime I'd go to sheriff's headquarters where they were stationed out of, you could kind of see them gloat in this glow on their face about, yeah, look at this young fella. You know, he's doing really good, kid. You just keep it up, you know?
And you know, this is such a great story. I wish there was more and more people willing to take the time to be mentors out there. There's a couple things. One, people are somewhat products of their environment. You know, they may have all the talent in the world, but they're stuck in a certain place. And just by having exposure and you're taking somebody to sit here, I'm going to just change this environment slightly. I'm going to offer some other influence. Your life can go a whole different direction. I know I wouldn't have had the success in my career if I had 5 mentors when I started my career. And I would not have had the success if it wasn't for them.
Yeah, I could not agree more. And how is one able to tell the potential of an individual, you know, 20, 30 years from now?
Well, and here's the thing. I believe there's potential everywhere. You know, you see people, it's very rare I've run across somebody where I don't see potential. The question is, okay, are you going to take a few minutes of your time? Maybe you can go influence it. Well, there's two parts of the equation. One, you may want to step in and influence it, but the other one is, you being a 14-year-old kid, is do you want to be influenced?
That is a big part of it.
That is correct. Yep.
I agree that potential, if you're just, you know, in law enforcement, we talk about, you know, instinct and training. Which one do you rely on? Most people, you know, intuitively think that you rely on your instinct, but instincts fail you. Your training has hundreds of years of support and data to tell you, go with your training. In life and mentoring, you don't know what the potential of a person is. But what we do know is if you can try and give people a shot. If they're willing participants to help accept your advice and your guidance, give them a shot.
Absolutely.
You know? Give them a shot.
Absolutely.
Now, you had a conversation or maybe a letter with one of the investigators' family members, because both have since passed, right?
Yes. Yeah. So again, there's a couple things that really guide me in life that I tried to share. I developed the Sheriff's Department's mentoring program. And two key words is always be reasonable and put things in perspective. And in this case, in 2016, the congressional district that I was living in had a vacated position. And I had decided that I was going to run for United States Congress. And in doing so, it just struck me that, you know, here's this kid that was living in a warehouse with his father, didn't have anything. And now I'm running for a United States Congress. I had an executive leadership certificate from Harvard University. I attended the FBI National Academy, West Point Leadership Program, Notre Dame's Executive Integral Leadership Program. I was an adjunct professor for Brandman University, which is the Chapman University system, Santa Ana College, where I taught Introduction to Criminal Law, and a whole bunch of other things. And I thought, man, if not for these two men, none of this would be possible. I had been married then, I think, for 26 years, 27 years, two highly successful children. So I wrote the families a letter telling them my story and letting them know that it was because of their grandfather, their fathers, just a little bit of time that really changed my life. Yeah. I mean, they broke a chain.
Yeah. I mean, that's just priceless. And it's fascinating. You know, look, they see something in you and then they're like, here, let's give this guy an opportunity. But the one thing that's, if you listen to your story, is, you know, I believe people can be so successful if they just embrace what I would call the roadblocks in front of them. You just keep moving forward. You keep moving forward. I tell people, I said, you know, if you saw how many times I failed, you know, it would shock you. I probably fail, you know, 70% of the time, and I'm successful maybe 30% of the time. They're like, wow, you're so successful. And I was like, well, it depends. You only see one peak. That's not the reality. What the reality is you keep moving forward. You keep moving forward. And by doing that, embracing that it's okay, I'm going to fail, but you learn, and then you get better and better and better. And then all of a sudden you succeed.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. You know, you're talking about like wisdom. And I loved what you said earlier. You had 5-6 mentors in your life. These two guys were the catalyst for changing my life, right? But I had multiple mentors throughout my career, 33 years with the Sheriff's Department. And what I found was, you know, I was never afraid to move into something new, because I knew if some other person had done the job, then I could do it too. Somebody else, some other human being did this job. I may not be the smartest, or as my son says, I said, son, do you think I'm smart? He goes, Dad, I don't think you're really smart. I think you're wise. And I said, I'll accept that. I'll take
that's
that.
That's all right.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Yeah, that's a winner.
Yeah, because he's very intelligent, right? So I never had that fear, like you were just talking about, to try and do something. And if I fail, that's okay. You know,
yeah. you've really paid it forward too. You were saying that you started the mentorship program within the Sheriff's Department.
I did, yeah. At the time, then Sheriff Hutchins asked me to develop one for our organization, not because of my story, but because it was something that I was passionate in. And so we developed one in there to where we tried to assign people with people that didn't know, but with the experience to give guidance. And certainly towards those that wanted it, right? The problem that we experienced is you'll have some individuals in an organization that'll say, well, isn't that your job as a supervisor to mentor your folks? And I would have to say, yes, but what if you're an employee who has a supervisor that's not doing it? Where do they go? Where does that employee who's feeling like they're being left behind go? So we developed.
And that's very common. That is very common. And people don't realize most of your supervisors, what happened, you will promote, hey, this person is really good at this. So what do? They make them the supervisor, the frontline leader. And have you given them any training to be a supervisor or a manager or a mentor? And the answer is no. And then you expect them to go lead the others. And I kind of view it as, you know, it's like you watch football. Well, do you have a coach for a football team? Yeah. Well, why would you have a coach? Well, we need a head coach so we can call the plays and figure things out, the people on the field, got offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. And then you move on over, then you get into the business world, and we put these people in positions like your mentorship program. The reason I think this is just so brilliant is everybody needs a coach. Everybody needs to learn. And by having a mentor, it's like having that coach. And what happens, what people may not realize, is with that coach there, you're creating this world where, I use the term fear, false evidence appears real. And without that coach, you have these things in front of you, which hold you back. That coach is getting the most out of you. So you eliminate that fear of what is, it's not real. It's what's in your head. You think it's real. So it stops you, but they help you get through that. And by just having a mentor, you eliminate the fear. And then now the person can actually start to go gain their potential. So I think it's huge. I wish it was everywhere. People would take the time to go teach the supervisors how to be leaders. And I wish companies would spend more time having like apprenticeships or mentorships so they can groom, you know, the future.
I could not agree more. And how horrible would it be for organization, a company, to have employees sitting back saying, hey, I really would like to learn and grow within this organization, but there's just nobody available. You know, you have an opportunity to change people's lives. Why squander that? You know, for me, that old question of what is the meaning of life? There are some young folks that I have mentored for over 10 years that have very similar stories to mine. It is so fulfilling that I would highly encourage anybody that listens to this, either in a personal or professional life, just take a little bit of time out of your day and try and change the stars for somebody else, and you will reap the rewards of your good efforts.
After more than 30 years in law enforcement, Bob Peterson retired this year as undersheriff at the Orange County Sheriff's Department. We're always looking for inspiring stories. If you've got one you'd like to share, contact us through the Company Doctors website. That's thecompanydrs.com. Click on the charity link. Until next time, wishing good health to you, your family, and your business.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company, doctors, and you.